Welcome to Energy Medicine Radio with Dr. Wu Di and E-Love, a celebration of unique healing modalities for your mind, body, and soul, opening the pathway to wellness, enlightenment, and creative living. Our mission is to share consciousness-shifting information with humanity and help people improve and transform their overall quality of health, wealth, and happiness. Thank you for joining us.
Greetings and welcome to Energy Medicine Radio. My name's E-Love.
And I'm Dr. Wu Di.
And we're going to be speaking about the six syllables that will change your life.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on the show again. Tonight we decided to share about some mantra. Mantra is like a repetitious prayer, if you don't know what that is. And I know you do a lot of mantra, don't you?
I do a lot of mantra. And mantras, it's really an enlightened compassion and awareness in the form of sound. And mantra actually has two parts, man, which is the root of Sanskrit word for the mind, and tra, which is the root word for instrument. So mantra actually means that it's an instrument of the mind, a powerful sound or vibration that you can use to enter a deep state of meditation and healing. And according to the Vedic tradition, the ancient sages were able to hear these subtle variations and vibrations produced by everything in nature, and the sounds of the wind, the thunder, rivers, they recognized the sounds as manifestation of spirit into matter, and they identified the Om, A-U-M, as the most elemental sound representing the infinite universal consciousness. So for thousands of years, many of the listeners may know Om as a very common mantra. People have used this mantra to expand their awareness of the divine. And the Tibetan Buddhists, they recite mantras as a way to connect to the positive qualities and protect themselves from negativity, especially when we're talking about negativity, inner negativity. So through contact with and especially meditation on mantras, and this mantra in particular that we're going to be doing today, which is the mantra of compassion, people can imbue and take in the positive qualities, and then naturally benefits arise. More joy, more clarity, a sense of self is much more grounded. And there's many, many benefits which we'll go through in this session. So, Dr. Wu, you have a whole teaching on this mantra.
Well, interesting enough, when you get a mantra or, you know, your teacher, you know, either a master, a guru, or a lama, when they give you a mantra, if you're not a disciple, but, you know, you're just going to a class or something, usually they just give you a mantra, like chant Om or Sat Nam, or as one I remember that Ram Dass used to do, Aditya Ridayam Punya Sarshatu Vinashanam, which is a blessing to the sun. But it's not often that you get the teaching of the mantra, as well as the mantra. And the teaching is really where the meat is, so you know what's behind the mantra and how to use it. And I was lucky enough years ago to meet a gentleman, Dingo Kenzi Rinpoche, and studying with my Lama at the time. He gave me the teaching. It's called The Wheel of Duality, of deluded existence, the wheel of deluded existence, which is sort of a strange name. It's commonly referred to as the wheel of life. It's a classic image from Tibetan Buddhism, it talks about the different realms of existence associated with the unenlightened state. It's like a powerful mirror for spiritual aspirants, the wheel of deluded existence, and it's often painted on the monastery doors, you know, in Tibet. Usually it's to remind the monks of the privilege of being woken up from an existence of sleep. And the mantra, it's really interesting. It's depicted in the center of the mantra. It's a round thing, a big round mantra. And there's usually, it looks like a monster's holding it. You know, a guy with teeth and claws and all that. And he represents death and, you know, where we're going. But in our existence, in our life, this mantra is intertwined in the middle with a pig, a rooster, and a snake. And they symbolize or depict ignorance, greed, and aggression, or worry, struggle, and blame. So a lot of times when we're trying to move on, you know, in our life, and we get caught up in things like worry, you know, we're worried that, like the pig or the snake is the one who's always worried. The snake's always worried that somebody's going to step on him and squash him. So he's constantly, that's why it's depicted worried by the snake, because the snake is always worried that he's going to be stepped on or squashed. And the rooster, or sometimes the peacock, because if you've ever heard a peacock sing, they don't really sing, they scream. Ah, they've got a horrible sound.
It's like a screech.
Yeah, like a screech, more like that. And they're about blaming others. So in our lives, if something happens, a lot of people, instead of taking responsibility for what happened, they blame others for the problem. She did it, he did it, they did it, anybody did it, it definitely wasn't me. So they use the peacock to, you know, to remind us that that part of the life, or what's keeping all the states together, and keeping us in this illusion, going around and around. Like if you talk to one of the Tibetans, you say, "How are things going?" "Oh, the old round and round." In other words, they're going from God to hell, and from all the different states, which we'll go over soon. And so we talked about and then the pig. The pig is greedy. The pig is worry, struggle. He's always struggling. He's always struggling to get more. Not enough food, not enough money, not enough love, not enough energy. Oh, my goodness. So a lot of us live in these states of worrying about not having enough, or worried about somebody squashing us, struggling to get more all the time, and we have all these stresses, or blaming somebody else for our problems. And those three emotions really keep us going around and around and around in a circle of life. And this teaching tonight, what I'm going to at least tell you about from my knowledge, and I've had quite a few teachers go over this, including, like I said, Kenzie Rinpoche. They say he's reincarnated, but I knew him in his older body years ago. They say, as long as our actions are dominated by anger, ignorance, and pride, we are lost in a world of illusion, spinning in an endless cycle from which we will not escape. Whoa, sounds scary, huh? Yeah, just in time for Halloween. But there are different realms. There's the God realm, and the God realm, it's sort of like a ego fixation that we get stuck in. And typical God realm, the gods would have a lot of mirrors in their house. They would say, isn't this wonderful, this place? I built it myself. Isn't this a wonderful meal? I made it. Isn't this a great outfit I have on? Aren't these great shoes? I got them exclusively for me, handmade. And they're always going on how great things are and how they are the creator of this greatness, because, of course, gods create. So they're very narcissistic. They're always talking about themselves, how wonderful they are, what great things they have. Look at my fancy car. Look at my fancy boat. In fact, one day, this is some years ago, I was working with this guy named Neil, and Neil was a pretty heavy-set guy. He must have been about 6'3 and about 350 pounds. He was a big boy. And Neil came into my office, and he was talking to me about his heart condition and how he wanted to take some pill or to have some treatment done or have something, because the last thing he wanted to do was stop eating or exercise. So anyway, I said, Neil, you know, I was at your house. You've got such a beautiful pool in the backyard. All you have to do is start out and swim maybe a lap a day. And he said to me, listen, Dr. Wu, not only do I have a beautiful pool, but I have a beautiful boat in the back. He said, but the boat doesn't even have an engine in it. I just have it there for show, because I never go in the boat and I never go in the pool. Well, unfortunately, Neil is no longer in his body, because you just can't talk or take a pill to do something. I know in the gym one day I said, I was reading this sign that said, don't you wish there was a pill to make your whole body hard? So yeah, right. Sometimes that we really don't want to do the work, but with a little bit of work, if you just start slowly and you start doing something, you can move out of that place. But when you're stuck in a realm like the God realm and everything is revolving around you, usually you get stuck. Now, they say right next to the God realm is the Titan realm, and the Titans are the warriors. They're always angry. They're pissed at everything. And they say there's a beautiful apple tree that grows in the Titan realm. But the Titans are always trying to chop down the apple tree, because all the apples fall in the God realm. So the gods, of course, they expect the apples to be there because they're gods. Why wouldn't we have apples? Of course we'd have apples. And the Titans are pissed, not that the gods are getting the apples. They're pissed that they're their apples and they don't get to eat them, so they're trying to chop down the tree just to spite the gods so someone doesn't have anything. And sometimes in one of our, you know, in our consciousness, what will happen is we're pissed at somebody else just because they have something that we don't. It's sort of a jealousy, and it's also we'll do something to destroy. And every so often you'll see somebody, they'll get their, you know, they have a big fancy car, and somebody will key their car. They take a key and just scrape along the side. It's not because it's going to do anything for them. It's not going to make their life better. They're just pissed that they don't have it. So they'll do injury to someone else. This is really a strange realm. But a lot of people live in that greed, unhappiness, jealousy. Oh, my goodness. And if you say, boy, what a nice car you have. You say this to a Titan. He said, what's it to you? What's the matter, man? You can't afford it? You know, and they go off and, you know, they just, they're ready for a fight. Whatever you say to them, they're ready to fight you. And, you know, you run into people like this all the time. And even in our own lives, this comes up. We get jealous. We get greedy. We get pissed. We get angry. And we want to knock somebody's head off. And it's usually just that that Titan, you know, that absolute warrior type. And it's a jealous warrior. on the other side of that, there's another realm. It's the human realm. So you say, well, the human realm, that's sort of an interesting realm. Well, the human, they say from the human realm, it's the only actual way we can get off the wheel and become enlightened. That's where we can wake up from the human realm. But you have to watch it, because the humans, they also have an ego fixation. And the human, their ego fixation is, oh, they're walking around like with a pull up their butt. They're rigid. They're analytical. If this isn't scientifically proved, it doesn't work. There is no material in the literature showing that this proves that this is really right, so therefore it isn't. I want to see the facts. Humans are all about facts and numbers. It's the metal element in the five element theory. They are so rigid, unflexible, not open to anything unless they have proofs. A lot of our medical doctors, a lot of our engineers, people who really, computer people, you know, it's not the creative type, which would be more open, but the closed system is the system where the person is so analytical, they are so anal, that they become so rigid and stiff, and this is not a way to be. But it's part of it, and we all have that part. Sometimes we're very analytical. Other times we're going to knock somebody's head off. The next thing we know, we're bragging on how wonderful I am. And because I'm so wonderful, I will give you, grant you a wish or do something for you. Why don't you come over and enjoy my food, because I am the best cook ever. Okay. Now, there's more realms. There's they're called the Pretas, or the hungry ghosts. And the hungry ghosts, they always live in the past. So they're always saying, you remember the good old days when we were back home? Remember when we used to swim in the ocean in Australia? Remember when we used to have kangaroo stew? They're remembering the past. They're not really living in the future. They always have past memories, and they always have unfulfilled desires. So they're depicted as someone with a great big mouth and a very skinny, skinny neck and a great big belly. And they say everything they eat because they want to just, you know, try to fill themselves up. But it can hardly get through the skinny neck, and when it goes, it hits the belly and turns to fire. So a lot of times when a person, they call them the hungry ghosts. You know, they're living in the past, past memories, past this. Oh, I wish it was like it was when I was a kid. Oh, I remember how wonderful it was before we had cell phones and internet. Ah, before we had blog talk radio. Before we had this. You know, they're always living. They're never in the present. They're always living in the past. And this is another, you run into people all the time. Remember how good it was when Grandma was around and she made, and everything was organic and there was no poison food and there was no, remember how great it was. And they go on and on and on and they get boring real quick because they're not in the present. And if you want to make your life work, you have to live in the present. Now, across from the hungry ghost, a lot of cool stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Across from the hungry ghost is the animal realm. And the animal realm, they're usually used for their bodies. They're always being led around by a leash, or they're locked up in a pen, or a lot of times in a relationship, a woman, she'll be the animal, and the husband or the boyfriend, he'll be a titan. So he always has her on a very tight leash. He's telling her what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. And she's going, yes, yes, yes. And even in her voice, you hear the, oh, I miss you. I love you. I want you. And they go on and on. Yeah, it's a little bit sad, but you see it in consciousness all the time. In fact, If an animal, if two animals are together, you know, and they're living in that consciousness, and you say, "Hi, you want to go to the movies?" "I don't know. Do you want to go to the movies?" "Well, I want to go to the movies if you want to go to the movies." "Well, what would you like to see?" "I don't know. What do you want to see?" "Well, I don't know. What do you like?" "Well, whatever you like, I like." And they go back and forth and up and down. They can never make a decision. And that's why a lot of times a Titan will come in and just say, "Oh, we'll know the decisions. Do this, do that, clean the house, make my dinner, press my underwear, fold my socks, and where's the toilet paper? Where, get me this, I want this." They'll feed them, they'll take care of them, but they got them on such a tight leash that they don't, it squashes their creativity, it squashes their life, it squashes their health. It just squashes anything about who they are or how they're going to start getting off the wheel. Now, there's one more realm, and usually if you're in the God realm and you're very narcissistic, this is the realm you fall into eventually. You fall into the hell realm. And the hell realm is similar to the God realm, but everything is messed up and it's your fault. You know, "Oh, did I do this? I shouldn't have done that. I always screw this up. Oh, no, the car didn't start. I must have left on the radio all night and drained the battery. Oh, no." And they're always blaming themselves for anything that happens. The poor me. You know, it's my fault. Mea culpa, mea culpa. A Spanish one of "it's my fault, it's my fault." A lot of times the church, so people are going, "Oh, forgive me, it's my fault, I have sinned, I have this, I have that, oh, poor me." Well, this is a great realm for all of the spirits and demons to come in and feed on. So how do we get out of this realm, these different realms, where, like I said, the spoke of the wheel, or not the spoke, but the center, the hub of the wheel, is where that peacock, that pig, and that snake live, and they keep pulling you into sort of a tight-knit situation of worry, struggle, and blame. And you're blaming yourself, you're blaming others, you're blaming your lack of money, your lack of love, your lack of something, for your life not working. Well, anyway, there is a solution. Ha 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 ha. And the Tibetans.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
related
sure.
to the realms.
Okay.
What are some of the physical ailments? You mentioned that the physical body can be affected by these different realms.
Okay, you sure can. The human realm. Stiffness, arthritis, lack of movement, Alzheimer's disease, you know, all the things around memory, stiff joints, achy back, achy knees, achy brachy, you know, all that stuff of pain. And a lot of that's in the human realm. It's also in the Titan realm, man, because they are so angry, they get cirrhosis of the liver, liver problems, they get eye problems, they, let's see, what else did the
gallstones.
Well, yeah, they get all that stuff. They don't really have fear. The fear is more in the animal realm. Fear would come from the kidneys, and that's more the animal realm, more of the water element. And they get... Well, kidneys, if you have a kidney problem, you get low back pain, knee pain, hair loss, your libido, sacabo, it's gone, no libido. You get hearing problems, a lot of fear in your life. So, you know how if a dog gets hit by a stick, you know how he sort of tucks under?
Right.
You know, tucks his tail and sort of hovers and pulls away. A lot of that comes from the animal realms because the animals, like I said, they're used for their body. They're beaten. They're abused. If they're not abused physically, they're abused emotionally, mentally. They're abused by words. Because what's the difference if I say you're useless or if I hit you? Either one. It causes pain, and you know, and then you contract. So a lot of that is all animal realm. Now, the hungry ghost or the titan, there's a tremendous amount of stomach problems. Colitis, there is stomach pain, there's ulcers, all that stuff is all tied up in the stomach area because, of course, they can't fulfill anything. So there's no, you know, it's like I said, they have a big mouth, and the mouth is about taking things in. And they can take things, they want to take things in, but with a skinny neck and a big belly, they end up with fire in the belly, just burning belly, lower jaw problems, lower jowls, the lower tantien. So this is, and then the hell realm, man, the hell realm is hell because you get everything. It's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. You know. Oh, I pray to God because it's my fault because I screwed this up. Well, if you keep saying it's bad, guess what?
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. If you get up, if it's raining out, and you say, "Oh, this is a horrible day. It's raining out. Oh, and I was going to go to the beach. What a horrible, horrible day." But let's say you have a farm and you have 50 acres and it's been dry and it's raining. You wake up, you go, it's raining out. This is wonderful. It's all what you say. You know, it, things happen and you're just like George Bush. You're the decider. You can decide if it's good or bad just by declaring. You're like the king and you say, I decree this good. I decree this bad. And you make that decision in your own life. How's that, E?
It's powerful.
Yeah, right. So the realms of consciousness, well, the idea is how do we get off this? There's the mantra, the symbols in the mantra are Om, O-M, Ma, M-A, Om Ma, Ni, N-I, Om Mani, Pad, P-A-D, May, Hum, Om Mani, Pad, May, Hum. Okay, so Om is the mantra to the God realm. So when you chant Om, and soon, I'm going to ask E if she would do some of the chanting, because she's got a beautiful voice, and she's been doing mantra for years, as long as I've known her. So, and we've known each other for quite a while. So the Om, and then Ma, of course, Ma is the human realm. Ni is the Titans. Or, so it's Om, Ma, Ni, Ped, Hungry Ghosts, Ne, Ed May is the animals, and Hung is the hell realm. So when the mantra is chanted, Om Mani Padme Hum, and is there anybody out there that will chant a little of that? Who's from Australia?
Could be. It could be E.
Let me tell you a little bit about that. That wasn't E chanting yet. That was years ago. I was at a workshop, and it was in upstate New York. And there were about 200 people in the workshop. And the workshop, the teaching, was all about the wheel of deluded existence, or you know what we're talking about tonight, you know, and the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum, you know, the wheel of life. Anyway, it was a great workshop with a lot of people. They had the men on one side and the women on the other side. So when they chanted, the men would go, you know, with a very deep voice, Om Mani Padme Hum, and then the women, Om Mani Padme Hum. And I, well, something like that. So I happened to get that. I was at the workshop, and I happened to get the recording. And at the time when I left that workshop, I was working for Midwest Research of Michigan. They're a subliminal tape company. And when I got back to Michigan, I was living in Michigan, and I went and talked to Lynn and Lucy. They had the company, and I said, "What I'd like to do is I'd like you to put the tape on a loop so it's repetitive." At the time, it was tape, no digital stuff. And what they did is they repeated the mantra on a series of about 30 tapes, and each tape was, or each loop, what I mean by a loop, they used to play it over and over again. And then what they did is they created a subliminal tape. So when that mantra is chanted, what happens is beneath the mantra, they repeated the mantra over 100,000 times. And I made a tape of that years ago, and because my teacher, I wanted this teaching. Oh, please give me the teaching, master of the wheel of duality and existence. Please give me the teaching, oh, master. Have you ever seen Eddie Murphy's movie when he turns that wheel? Oh, give me the shit, you know that. Well, anyway, the wheel of life, I asked for the teaching many times, and of course he blew me off. And then he said, ah, I will give you the teaching, grasshopper, but here's what you have to do first. You have to chant the mantra 100,000 times. So I went, wow, 100,000 times. So a mala is like prayer beads, like a rosary. There happens to be 108 beads in it. So 108 beads, you hold one bead in your hand and you go, Om Mani Padme Hum, and then you go to the second bead, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. And you keep repeating the mantra over and over, and as you slide the beads between your fingers. So in about a half an hour, you get through one mala. Huh. So one mala is 108 chanting the mantra. So I figured that out on a calculator and said, boy, this is going to take me some years before I get this. Oh, I had an idea. And that's when I went to the subliminal tape company, and I said, what I want you to do is make me this tape so it chants in 1 hour 100,000 repetitions of the mantra, because then I can go to my teacher and say, I have the mantra in my brain, in my body, in my soul, because I have chanted it 100,000 times. A little bit of cheating, but I figured that technology, you know, he didn't tell me how to do it. He just said I needed to do it. And if I wanted the teaching, that was the way to get it. So my friends worked on the mantra for me for, oh, I don't know, maybe they did it in 2 weeks. And then I sat down for some time, maybe 2 days, and started listening to the tape over and over. So the mantra got repeated over and over and over. I played it when I was sleeping. I played it in the car. I played it, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani. My whole life was about Om Mani Padme Hum. This is before I got this teaching at all. So then I came to my teacher and I said, ah, I have completed the assignment. I now have the teaching. And he said, listen, there is no way humanly possible that you could get the teaching. I said, well, let me tell you what I did. And I told him the story about the subliminal tape company and the repetitive and the mantra. Anyway, he started laughing. And he said, this my son is very creative. In fact, it's so creative that I will give you the teaching. And that's how I received this teaching. And
wow.
That's why I called to share it with you. I wanted to share it with you tonight. And over the years, I took a class on it a few years ago and put together the teaching, pictures of, of the wheel of life, and really explained what it was and how we can use it and how important mantra is. And I'd like you to speak a little bit more about how mantra can serve you and what it really does, what the mantra symbolizes, and especially this mantra.
Well, you were speaking a little bit about the repetitions and doing 100,000 repetitions. So what is said that when you're repeating these mantras in this quantity is that you achieve mantra siddhi. And siddhi is, it's defined as, you could say magical powers, but it's really abilities and attainments that are the products of the advancement of the actual practice. So through the practice, this leads to different abilities, such as increased intuition or psychic abilities, or sometimes there's healing abilities that have been released as a result of this. And it is a very spontaneous thing that comes from the devotion and proves the success of these repetitions. So over many, many years, they figured out doing so many and dedicating a practice to particular numbers of repetitions that people were also having different benefits. And so that's the reason why the practice of repeating 100,000, or depending on what your teacher may have assigned you, it can result in these amazing benefits. So that's pretty cool. And it's also another way of saying it is that the practice reaps benefits. You were talking about the Om, and the Om in Om Mani Padme Om is also increasing the wisdom, and it purifies the generosity. So the element of generosity, it enhances that, and it purifies the energy of arrogance. So that's specific to the Om and the God realm. And then the Ma, the human realm, is purifying the energy of jealousy and activating ethics in somebody, positive ethics, how to operate with ethics. And in the Titan realm, or the Ni, it is purifying confusion or attachment, and then it is enhancing wisdom and patience. And in the Pad, the hungry ghost realm, it is purifying bewilderment, and it is enhancing enthusiasm and all-encompassing space. In the Me, the animal realm, it is purifying greed and enhancing discrimination and meditation. And then Hom, in the hell realm, it is purifying anger and increasing or activating wisdom and clarity. So Om Mani Padme Hom has so many different meanings and purposes behind it. It's a very, 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 very powerful meditation. with my own practice, I practice chanting mantra every day, and I use a mala, which helps me count out 108. And we spoke about the 108 a couple of shows ago, where 1 and 8 equal 9, which is the most yang number. And I basically do this every day on a regular basis, so it's an accumulative benefit. And I've been doing Om Mani Padme Om since you gave me the transmission and the teaching. So it's been a number of years, and it's a very, very, very powerful meditation. Actually, it's the most repeated mantra and the most popular mantra, I believe, in the world.
Yes, it is.
Through so many people all over the world, in many, many countries, all different peoples repeating this. Like right now, at any given time, anywhere in the world, somebody is chanting Om Mani Padme Om. So the minute we start chanting this, we kind of hook into that subliminal and ethereal connection with others that are chanting this, and this is always running in the background. So you can just kind of hop on the bandwagon or the train, if you will, which is pretty interesting because you're hooking into what's not seen. And it really induces these specific vibrations in the mind that, as I mentioned, purify and activate certain qualities. So if someone is understanding that each of these syllables is activating certain qualities, then they can start to lessen the qualities that they no longer wish to have or, you know, have as a big part of their life if that's going on. Or, as we're all human, we have little bits of this coming through at different times. So we can mitigate the less desirable qualities and activate the more preferable qualities, which lead to a more harmonious and balanced life. So I thought I'd
That's great. That's exactly what it does. That's exactly what the mantra does. It pulls you off the wheel, this wheel of around and around and around, because sometimes we're all gods, you know, everything is wonderful and I did it, and sometimes we fall into the hell realm or, you know, it's your fault. We blame and we struggle. And when you chant the mantra on a regular basis, you hook into that, you hook into that precious sound that's going on. If you've ever been in any of the temples in China or Tibet, or if you've seen them on television, it's like this round wheel and they're spinning that wheel. That wheel is about that mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. It is one of the keys. And when I met a very high lama, Dingo Kenzi Rinpoche, he gave me a little red string, and he said, tie this around your neck, and this will protect you. And chant this mantra. This is the mantra that will free you up from, you know, the cycle of birth and death. It'll free you up from going around and around and around the same wheel, you know. First you're good, then you're bad, then I'm in love, then I hate, then it's just a total, you know, it happens to all of us, but how do we move out? How do you move it? And one of the ways that he does it, and one of the ways that many people do it, is she spends... How much time do you actually spend chanting every day?
It depends. If I'm doing 5 different mantras, sometimes if I'm doing a special practice for 40 days, I might do an hour and a half mantra. Regular would be 40 minutes, 45 minutes. If I'm doing it really fast, it can be a little bit faster. It depends on what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll do japa, which is a silent mantra, and that is known to increase concentration, and it also really creates a mental vibration that allows the mind to experience these deeper levels of awareness, and the mantra becomes abstract in a way until you're led into a mindset of pure consciousness, the consciousness from which the vibration itself arose. So the mantra helps you disconnect from thoughts filling in your mind, and it really supports practice. And being that we are human, the benefit of doing it on a regular basis is that you keep intercepting and you start to build a regular practice of what you do want in your life and activate what you do want in your life. So it's not something that I would do once and then, you know, maybe do another practice 10 weeks later. It's a regular thing, and this is increasing these meditative states, increasing the positive benefits, and also the thoughts and the worries start to drop away as you experience this quietness that exists beneath the noisy internal dialogue of the mind. So you start to feel much quieter.
What do you mean by intercepting exactly?
Well, it's intercepting, it's cutting through it.
So I see.
Instead of, you know, if you're in the God realm and you're perpetually in that realm, how do we intercept that? Awareness intercepts it, but also these practices start to intercept it because they dissolve. They dissolve and purify, but they also enhance the positive. So then you start to balance differently.
Wow.
And this brings...
Can you... Go ahead.
Well, it's a way of experiencing peace. So when you experience these little bits of peace, those little bits over time with the practice become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the body and the mind and the spirit naturally gravitate to things and ways of thinking and being that will activate peace.
Can you give us a little example of the mantra that you chant, or even this mantra, you know, so our listening audience can hear a little bit of it and maybe even chant along with you, you know, just for a minute or so.
Okay.
Just to give us an idea.
Well, I'll do Om Mani Padme Hum, and I'll do 27 of them.
Okay.
And we can
why 27?
27 because 2 and 7 is 9. 9 is the most yang number, the most energy. So if I'm going to do a short mantra, I would choose a number that comes to 9.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll begin. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Goes pretty quick, eh?
It was pretty quick and pretty beautiful. And I know they say that if this mantra is chanted, what it does is it cuts through this illusion or this delusion of existence that we're always stuck in a place of worry, struggle, and blame, and then pulled around by our emotions. And the mantra, as it's chanted, you sort of appease all the different realms, and by appeasing the realms, you can move off the wheel and into a state of total enlightenment. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at how do we transform our lives? How do we make our lives, how do you really make your life more quality life? And if you're just praying and saying, oh, give me this, oh, I want this, that's not going to do it. You know, I don't think there's a guy up there with a long beard who's granting you a new car and a new house. I mean, sure, they say that prayer is speaking to God and meditation is listening to God.
Yes.
And or listening to the source, you know, because if you say God, everybody goes, oh, God, that has to do with religion. And this really isn't a religious practice. This is a practice to free up the different states of consciousness that we get stuck in. You know, we get stuck in those, and then we're stuck in them, and the next thing we know, we're bipolar, we're paranoid. The next, you go to see a doctor, and he says, ah, you need to be medicated. Well, medication is not a cure. Medication's a Band-Aid. You stay in the same, it takes away the highs, it takes away the lows. So you end up depressed and unhappy, and all of a sudden your life is no longer fulfilled. And these practices that we'll be sharing over the, you know, over the next couple of years, and the guests that we have come on, we'll be sharing some really exciting stuff. E, could you tell us, we have a guest coming up in a couple of weeks. Who is that?
Das coming up in a couple of weeks. He is a master flute maker and musician, multi-instrumental musician. And he had gone to India many, many years ago and came across different gurus that requested him to translate some of the teachings. And some of these teachings have never been translated. So he learned Sanskrit and has a body of work of these translations of these sacred teachings that are not available anywhere else. And he's going to be speaking with us about a little bit about mantra again and many of the teachings and his journey, and hopefully we get to hear some of his music. And it'll be a very, very interesting interview. I was going to mention a little bit about mantra just to finish off with. You mentioned,
how do you spell that before you go on, mantra? How do they spell
M-A-N-T-R-A.
M-A-N-T-R-A.
E-R-A.
Ah, nice. Yeah, could you tell people a little bit about what we're offering them tonight?
Yes. We are going to be offering, the program has several different sections. It has the teaching of Om Mani Padme Hum. It has the DVD, the CD that you can go along and chant with it. And this is a holistic way of understanding the chant. As we mentioned, we kind of tipped the, opened up a little bit of the information tonight on the show. Each syllable does have a genuine purifying effect. And just to go through it really quickly, the Om purifies the veils of the body, Ma is the veils of the speech, Ni is the veils of the mind, Pad is conflicting emotions, it purifies this, Me is latent conditioning, it purifies the veils of latent conditioning, and Hung purifies the veil that covers knowledge. So with this program, you're really getting a lot of the teachings, and you'll be able to practice this mantra. And you did mention that it wasn't a spiritual or a religious practice. This is a practice of sound and healing through sound.
And it has a subliminal tape with those 100,000 mantras on it.
Yes, very powerful.
And so let's tell people how they can get this.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. If you go to www.recharging, that's Q-I, that's how they say Qi, or spell it in Chinese, Q-I, Gong, G-O-N-G, .com, and go to, it'll come up and you'll see programs. Go to the programs and look for the mantra program. And if you put in the secret code, and what is the secret code this week?
Mantra.
Hey, yay! You put in the name mantra and the program is 50% off. Now, we don't make those deals, but today, anyone listening to the show, and this is going to be going on until Friday. So it'll be today, Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and all day Friday. So if you want to get the teaching, if you want to get this precious subliminal tape, go to rechargingqigong.com, go to products, and go to mantra. And soon, you know, in shows to come, eventually we'll get this together. It'll be just something right on our show that you can push. But right now, we got to go through the website. But this program is a must. This can change your life. I know it changed mine.
It will change your life. Regular practice is transformational.
So is there anything else that you want to share about mantra tonight, or what we're going to be doing next?
Well, I wanted to share that not only is it sound, but the practice itself activates the breath. When you activate the breath, you move chi and energy in the body. So this alone is extremely healing.
Yeah, that'll keep you healthy for sure. The breath is the key to qigong. The breath is the key to meditation. And the breath is the key to life. If we take away your food, you can live for about 30 days. If we take away your water, you can live for about 2 weeks. But if we take away your air, your breath, boy, it's going to be minutes. You know, if you can live for 5 minutes, you're lucky. So the breath is really what guides the meditation. And as we chant, we get into a rhythm, and it opens so much. So we wish you a wonderful, wonderful evening, and hope that you get this program and start the chanting. And we look forward to sharing more and more with you about how to make our lives more pleasant, healthier, bring in more anti-aging techniques, and our guests will share with you things to make your life much better.
These are tools, fabulous tools.
Join us every first and third Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or listen again online at bbsradio.com/energymedicineradio. Wishing you the best in your health, wealth, and happiness.